Hey, everybody, it's Rick. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast. If you've been listening to this podcast over the last 2 or 3 years, you know that we like to discuss topics, and today isn't going to be any different. And so today I want to talk about growing in Christ. More specifically, I want to talk about how to grow in Christ. You know, now usually I'd go through a bunch of scripture, a bunch of different verses, build a message around that. But today I think it's pretty simple. Maybe it's not simple, but I'm going to try to use the one verse that will teach us how to grow in Christ. And that's John 3:30, right? John 3:30. He must become greater and I must become less. That small verse will help us grow in Christ. So let me lay out what's going on, right? At this stage, we're learning about John the Baptist's ministry, right? And I think that builds from, it starts in verse 22. And if we look back farther in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 21, Jesus had just been ministering to Nicodemus about new birth, about being born again, about faith in Christ, about the repentance of sin. And after these teachings, Jesus and his disciples, according to verse 22, they go down to the region in Judea, in the Judean countryside, where John is baptizing people. And look, John's disciples, they kind of get upset about this because, you know, they feel like instead of people coming to John for baptism, the people are going to Jesus. And that's according to verse 26. But then John tells his disciples, he says, "The one whose disciples are baptizing is the one I came to testify about, the one whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." So what I hope to accomplish today is that with this one verse, John 3:30, he must become greater and I must become less, is how we can give God priority in our life, how we can grow in Christ. So to do that, I think we have to look at this verse a little bit different, right? To grow in Christ, we have to start with a very simple word, a single word, I. That word, I. I must decrease. I must become less. I know that's hard, right? I must become less. That word must, it means obliged. We are obliged to become a nobody for God to make us somebody for him. Let me say that again. We are obliged, we must become nobody for God to make us somebody for him. It is God's eternal plan that you become nothing, that he might be the sun who shines through your life into the world. But for this to happen, we must first be humble before God. That's what John is doing. He is humbling himself before the Father in heaven so Jesus might be superior, so that Jesus will have superiority. The first act of giving Jesus first place in our lives is that we humble ourselves before him, right? James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up." I personally continue to ask myself, why are so many Christians living a life of misery? And why are so many Christians living a life of sin? Now, look, we all sin, so I'm not trying to say that we don't, right? I sin, we all sin. But we don't have to live a life of misery. Because when you read scripture, it seems like an easy answer to me. And that easy answer is they're not putting God first. They aren't setting themselves aside and allowing God to be God in their lives. They're not becoming less. You must become absolutely nothing before God. And if you do that, he can bless you. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." humility, being humble, puts God first. Being humble seeks him as the God who is over all and above all. Humbling ourselves before God flows down so that we may be humble before one another. Now, I want you to recognize, I didn't say we should desire others to humble themselves before us. But when we humble ourselves before God, it will result in humility before each other. You know, in the thinking process of a man, we want others to cater to our needs. That's just the way it works, right? I think in society, when you grow up, you're told, well, the wife should cater to the husband or whatever it is, right? That's what the world tells us. That's what the problem with how some parents are raising their kids today. No one's humble. No one's raising their kids to be humble. They're raising their kids to do whatever they want to do, to demand whatever they wanted to demand, and allow them to live at home until, you know, however long they want to, without any accountability. We want others to respect us. We want others to respect us in a manner, but we don't want to return the respect to them. We want to be served. We don't want to serve. That's the problem today, right? Jesus tells the disciples in Matthew 20, 27 and 28, "And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." I mean, if you think about it, the Son of Man, the Son of God, Christ, came here to serve people. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is everything and could have demanded everything, but he didn't. If we want to grow in Christ, we have to humble ourselves before him first. Period. We have to decrease, to become less. To do that, we can't retaliate against everyone who comes against us. That's what happens when we humble ourselves. You know, today, it really does amaze me to see the attitude of people who call themselves Christian, who are constantly offended at everyone who rubs them the wrong way. I mean, for lack of a better term, I'm kind of disgusted at how some Christians think that they can point out every little speck of dust in someone else's eyes and not deal with their own problems. And for those of us who think we have to respond to everyone who has some unkind thing to say about us, just stop it. If you have to tell people every time they do something wrong to stop it, it's a problem. It does not glorify God or his church, and it certainly makes you look bad. Right? 1 Peter 3, 8 through 9 says, "Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with a blessing, because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing." So if you call somebody out every time, right? If you point out their speck and you don't deal with your own problem, if you respond to everyone in unkind ways, you're not following what Christ has taught us, right? Repay evil with a blessing, because this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. You notice it says not to repay evil or insult for insult. When someone insults us, our human nature in our flesh is to lash back out at them, to insult them back. But here we're told never to do that. We repay that insult or evil with a blessing. So we have to ask, right? How do we bless them? And at this stage in our lives, I really think the only way to do that is to pray for them. Pray for God to work his grace in their lives. They may need to be saved. So pray for them, because you dishonor God when you insult and when you bicker with others, right? When you repay evil with evil or insult with insult, you dishonor God. I've really thought about this a lot lately, but just how we deal with each other thing. Think about how we deal with our spouses. That's maybe a harder one, right? When I fight with my wife, do I bless her? Do I pray for her? Am I living in the flesh, in the world, repaying evil with evil? How am I dealing with it? I have to recognize in those moments that I am not honoring God or honoring her. In those moments, I'm living in sin. I am not growing in Christ. When we pray for those who come against us, we don't pray for them negatively. We don't be like, God, please do what you can to take care of them. Get them out of my life. We pray for them in a positive manner, right? When in your heart, you know it's not positive, you're not going to pray for them. God will not work through your prayers when we pray against it. Matthew 5:44 says, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." That's when God will work in your prayer. Not only for your good, but for theirs as well. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. It doesn't say you got to be best friends with your enemies. It doesn't say you got to talk to them every day. It doesn't say you got to invite them into your world. It says pray for them. Love them and pray for them. You see, in order to grow in Christ, we must humble ourselves before him so that he has, I guess for lack of a better term, control in our lives, so that he has priority, preeminence, right? To decrease means to see ourselves as the ultimate subordinate, the ultimate employee to Christ. You can't do that when you're on the throne of your own life. When John said Christ must increase, he is saying he must step out of the way and let Jesus take over. That's what we have to do. We must let Jesus take over our lives. We must let Jesus take over our homes. We must let Jesus take over our church, our tongues, our actions, our entire person. If Jesus is to increase in our own lives, we have to let him take over. That's why so many Christians are living in misery today. It's not your spouse's fault. It's not your neighbor's fault. It's not your enemy's fault. It's your fault. It's my fault. It's because you won't give God first place in your life. When I give Christ first place, there's complete unity. You know, in today's world, you want to be in control, but what you have to do is let God in and let him be the God he promises to be. Listen to what he promises to you. If you let him, he will do it all. You will decrease and allow him to increase. You'll get God's promises. Look, he promises to protect you, right? 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, "But the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen you and protect you from evil, from the evil one." He will guard you from evil and be there to help you when you suffer from others, when you suffer from persecution, when you suffer from hardships. Even though you don't believe it or may not believe, the Lord is faithful to his promises and he provides strength and he protects us. But do we believe? We have to humble ourselves and decrease ourselves. 1 Peter 5:6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." That word exalt, lift up, right? That he may lift you up. That word is crucial. Give God his rightful place in your life. Humble yourselves. And when you undergo difficulties that bring you down, he's going to lift you back up, that he may lift you up in due time. But you have to make him priority in your life. You must decrease in order to grow in Christ. And he must continually increase, allowing him to have control, dominance, preeminence. And you always being a servant, being lesser, being submissive to God's will. That's how you will grow in Christ. The questions I think all of us have to ask ourselves today, am I going backwards or am I going forward in my spiritual growth? Am I at a standstill? To stand still means the same thing as not growing. You can claim whatever you want, make whatever excuse you want. If you're standing still, you're not growing in Christ. We must give him the proper place in our lives, and that is we must continue to decrease so that he can increase. Look, if you're listening today and you're not a Christian, if you have never given your life to him by repenting your sins, then the first thing you must do is humble yourself before Christ and take care of that issue right now. Jesus will not refuse to save you. He won't. If you're the Christian listening today, but you're standing still, then you got to humble yourself. You must become less so that he can become greater. You remember, this all started with a simple verse, John 3:30. He must become greater, I must become less. If every day you get out of bed and you start with John 3:30, he must become greater and I must become less, and you focus your life on how do I do that, then you will grow in Christ. That's how you do it. That's the roadmap. It's real easy. Don't take my word for it. You've heard me say this plenty of times. Don't take my word for what Scripture says. Go read it. Take God's word for what Scripture says. Look, it's been a pleasure. This is Rick with the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Remember to love God and love people. Don't forget, subscribe to whatever podcast platform of choice that you listen to. Share it with your friends. Give us a like, a thumbs up, a heart, whatever it may be. And remember, have a blessed day. Thanks.